Amen. I thank the Lord for that good song. Amen. And the truth of it, I'm glad He walks with me. Amen. And He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, if you'll remain standing, we'll turn there together. Matthew chapter 4 and our scripture reading for today. Amen. I appreciate what's been done already in the service, the Sunday school hour, and the singing service, the song service. I thank the Lord for that and just the blessings of the Lord in the day. And thank Him for just being so good. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1 is where we'll begin reading. I'm going to focus my attention today on verses 8 and 9. We're moving from the second round of temptation to the third round is where we're going to today. All right, I want to just make some remarks and some thoughts that might be helpful to us as we're winding this down. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8 and 9, as I said, our major focus. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10 says, Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful.
Yes.
Privilege to be in God's house today.
It is a blessing, Lord. Thank you.
Time, Lord, to assemble together, for the place, for the time. Thankful that we have the ability to be here, that we set up the teaching and preaching the Word of God.
Yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Help us, Lord, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. By the way, Brother Bell mentioned in Sunday school this morning, he was talking about taking our rights away, and said that if they limit the speech, he's talking about the protesters on Pennsylvania Avenue, if they limit those, then they'll limit preachers being able to preach. And Brother Hall said that day has come, and he's right, it's here. I read just this morning that in England, on two different streets now, it's against the law to pray silently on those two streets. You know why? Because there's an abortion clinic on those streets. And they passed a law, an ordinance, it's a town ordinance, in Birmingham, England, that it is against the law to pray silently on those streets. Because it offends and the word wasn't embarrassed, but it makes them anxious, those people that are going there to kill babies. It makes them anxious for somebody to be praying. God help us when they pass laws like that. Amen. We We do have the right to pray, even when they say you can't pray. You can pray, amen? And I'm glad that you can. Well, having said that, here in our text, we're looking, I said today, at the third temptation. And we've already looked at the first two. And notice that our Lord has not been defeated, amen? He is an undefeated foe, amen? Our Lord has withstood every attack and every attempt that the devil has sent his way. But I want to remind you that the devil himself is not easily dissuaded. The devil is not easily defeated. He will come again and again and again. Amen. He'll do his best. Maybe you might put him off for a little time, put him off for a space of time, but somewhere along the line he will catch his breath, so to speak, and he'll be back and he'll be active again. Amen. And so to those of us that are saved, I want to remind us that we need to be constantly vigil. We need to be constantly aware and vigilant and alert at the fact that the devil is an active foe. Amen. We need to continually beware of the roaring lion. We need to continually beware of the coiled up serpent that is ready to strike at any time. He is doing his best to defeat us and to trip us up and to cause us to stumble or to cause us to fall. Amen. Now, I want to mention not only do we see that Satan does not stop his temptations, but his temptations are ratcheted up, if I could say it that way. His temptations are apt to get harder and stronger as they progress. I believe that this third temptation is the strongest and most audacious of any temptation. Could you imagine Satan himself asking God himself to bow before him? But that's exactly what he did. That audacious, that powerful of a temptation. Amen. I'll say that it's most powerful to us as well, and we'll look at that as we go along. Let me say that Christ had faced this enemy in the dry, barren wilderness of Judea. That's where it began. He spent 40 days and 40 nights there in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And the first temptation that is recorded, as the devil told him to command those stones to be made bread, happened in a barren wilderness. No bread. But he moved him from that place. The scene moves to the temple, and he takes him up on a pinnacle of the temple in the holy city, and he tells him from there to cast himself down and that he would be unharmed, and it would prove that he is the Son of God. Now the scene moves again, and they're moved from the wilderness. They're moved from the pinnacle of the temple. They're moved to somewhere that the Bible just says is an exceeding high mountain. You see that in verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, I believe that he showed him a mental vision of all the kingdoms of the world. I don't believe this is saying that you could see. I don't believe it's possible from any mountain anywhere to be able to see all the kingdoms of the world physically. But the devil could flash that before your eyes. The devil could, oh, matter of fact, there's a lot of things the devil puts before your eyes that are not literally before your eyes. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll dwell on that. By the way, if you'll put it out when it's just a thought, then you'll be a lot better off than letting it lay there and simmer and seethe and become something more true. Amen. More solid. If it's just symbol, put it away while it's just a thought rather than allowing it to fester and to become more and more. Amen. But don't you know that when the devil brought this scene before the Lord, he used all the charm that he could. He showed all the dazzling lights and all the beauty that could be manifest in the power and the influence of worldly kingdoms. The devil did his best to exalt the glory and the delights and the debauchery and the temptation, all the embellishments and all the alluring forms that he could. In other words, he painted as pretty a picture as he was able to paint. Amen. And that's pretty good. And he did that before the Lord's eyes. Look with me in Luke chapter number 5 in Luke's account of this temptation, Luke puts in a phrase, he uses a specific phrase that adds to the understanding of exactly what this temptation was, the power of this temptation. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And here's a phrase that's not in Matthew's gospel. In a moment of time. He showed him all of it at one time. Just in a moment. Amen. It's amazing what your imagination can do. It's amazing what your mind can think on. You can think of for example, if you're thinking of a vacation, you don't just think of the first day or the second. You think of the whole thing in a moment of time. In a moment of time, you have imagined all of those, all the things that you're going to do and all the pleasures and the joys and the comfort that's going to be in that particular thing. All in a moment of time. That's exactly what I believe that the devil did before the eyes of our Lord in this case. I believe that that phrase, in a moment of time, indicates that Christ was shown all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And I don't believe that it was just the kingdoms that were then empowered. I believe it was the kingdoms of all the world of all time. All the glory from beginning to end. The devil said, I'll give you all of it. Matter of fact, he uses the word all in verse number, let me find it, in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 4, and saith unto him, all these things, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now I know that somebody would probably protest and say, you know, it's impossible for Satan to show all the kingdoms of all time. To which I would answer, yep, that might very well be impossible unless God gave him the ability for that moment, gave him the opportunity for that moment, just for that purpose of the temptation. Amen. You say, what do you mean? How, you mean God would give the devil special ability that he wouldn't give him other times? Do you believe the devil has the ability to drag Christ around anywhere he wants to today? No. Do you believe the devil ever had the ability any other time to move Christ as he wanted to? No. He was given that ability for that particular opportunity, for that particular time. Amen. Christ had numbered himself among the transgressors. Christ had placed himself at the disposal of the devil and said, do what you want to with me for this time because this is all you're getting. Amen. Amen. And so I believe that just as the devil had the power to manipulate our Lord, if you could say it that way, bodily at that time, I believe it's possible that God gave the devil that opportunity that this test could be performed on his own son. Amen. Now think with me. I'm thinking this is all introduction. I'll get to my points in a minute and I won't dwell on the points much longer than I do the introduction, matter of fact. But think with me about the empire of that time, the Roman Empire. I started reading a few weeks ago, and I haven't read it in about a week, but my dad has a 3-volume set of Gibbon's book, that great historical account from the 1700s. Gibbon wrote those 3 volumes, about 1,000 pages in each volume, of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And he goes into detail, buddy, I mean ultimate detail, telling you how vast was that empire. Talks about their military, talks about their roads, talks about their liberties, it talks about their government, all kinds of things that they had in that Roman Empire. I'm telling you, the Roman Empire was an amazing thing. That was what was enforced at that day. And it had some beauty. The thing about the Romans was that they had order. They did believe in order. It was not a chaotic empire. It was a very orderly empire, and there was a lot of things that came out of that. I don't have time really to deal with that today, but I'm just talking about this. Just think about the Roman Empire. But the devil didn't just show him just that kingdom, it said all the kingdoms of the world. All those other kingdoms that were outside of the Roman Empire, that were independent of the Roman Empire. Amen. It doesn't seem to me like that the devil was interested too much in showing them the boundaries. Well, you can have from here to there and then from here to there or from here to there. But he's not interested in showing them the boundaries of these empires, but the glory of them. The good, the praiseworthy, the exciting things about these empires is what he showed to our Lord. I believe he described the riches, the pomp, the power, and the grandeur of these empires and these kingdoms. One writer said it this way. I've got a lengthy quote. He said, "Consider that within this splendid picture lay the most lovely regions of the earth spread out before him, and around him the most charming prospect of magnificent cities and gorgeous palaces. On this side, behold haughty Rome, the victorious mistress of the world and the ruler over 100 kings. On the other side, the spicy groves of the East and the lovely rose gardens of Persia. Here he sees Africa with its rich mines of gold and acres of diamonds. There, India, the land of wonders, abounding with the varied charms of an unfaded springtime and flowing with milk and honey." But he did not show him only the kingdoms and the cities. Yet other things presented themselves to the view of Jesus. The devil showed him besides the kingdoms of the world, he also revealed to him their glory. Amen. More than just seeing the manpower, more than just seeing the military power, more than just seeing the land mass and seeing the beauty of all, but the glory of all those things that came for him. He goes on to say this, "Whatever this world possesses that is attractive and alluring, whatever delights the senses and commands admiration, whatever the children of the world call their paradise and their heaven, at once did Jesus behold spread out before him." Amen. We have a word for it. We call it utopia. There's another word that we don't use much anymore. We don't use utopia a lot, but of course they come from Latin phrases, utopia and dystopia. Utopia is the perfect idea. Dystopia is what man always makes when he's trying to get the perfect idea. Amen. The utopia is all the promises. We was talking about it the other day here. Brother Steve was talking about, he saw where a reporter asked Bernie Sanders point blank, "Are you a socialist?" Here was his answer. "I believe in free medicine. I believe in free college tuition. I believe in all these things. If I become president, this is what I'm going to do." He answered the question without saying yes. What he was saying is, "Here's my promises. Here's my promises." Because he knows that we remember that socialism is more than just promises. Socialism is death. Socialism is murder. Amen. And so what he's doing is he's painting you the glory of it. He's trying to show you all the wonders. And by the way, that's what they're running on. And we're living in a society. That's why from 30 years old and down in the latest polls, about 56% said they'd rather live in a socialist society than in a capitalistic society. That's Americans they interviewed. 56% of people under 30 years old. You know why? Because they don't know history. Amen. They don't know history. All they know are the promises. All they know is the glory of all those things. They don't know the deep down things. Amen. Well, that's what was showed to the Lord. Amen. That wasn't a quote from this man. Let me go back and read you some more of what he said. He talked about, he said, "Look here and behold the towering castles and pleasant villas with their lawns and gardens, their chariots and horses, expensive trains and luxurious cars. On one spot, galleries of the fine arts and temples of wisdom. On another, monuments of fame and laurel crowns of honor." Excuse me. "Yonder, courtly society in their golden chambers. Listen near at hand and hear the festive throng amid the alluring tones and seductive power of symphony and song. In short, all that makes the heart leap within the children of this world, all that fills the cheek with color and causes the eye to glisten with joy and delight, all this passed before the view of Jesus." Amen. A picture that fixed and riveted the attention and every exhibition calculated to please and excite the feelings that Satan would at that time reveal in the sight of our Lord. Amen. You think about it, all the things that the world goes after, culture, charm. I mean, they talk about being a well-rounded person, knowing all these things. They're talking about all the knowledge, all the experience. Satan put all that out on a platter before our Lord in a moment of time. Amen. Well, now we know this. We know that no crown can be worn long without some struggles to maintain that crown. Amen. I had an uncle, he's dead now, passed away now. That uncle worked 7 days a week to make $1 million. And then he worked 7 days a week to make the next. And then he worked 7 days a week to keep what he had. He worked 7 days a week till he died. Never enough. He got what he wanted, but he wasn't satisfied with what he wanted. He wanted a little more. Got a little more, wasn't satisfied with a little more. Had to hang on to what he had. Always worrying about somebody taking it. Well, we know this. The devil, when he showed these kingdoms of the world to our Lord, he showed all these kingdoms without the struggle. Without the difficulties. Without the problems. And by the way, that's exactly how the devil works to this day. Amen. Amen. I put it in my notes this way. That is exactly how the devil works. He paints a picture of luxury and eloquence. All the ease and all the comfort. Never revealing the pain and the toil. The sweat and the tears. The fretting and the worrying that such things require. Amen. He paints a picture of get rich quick. But these schemes not only never happen, they always produce trouble and woe. Amen. If I can just pull that lever and get the right numbers to come up one time, I'll be set for life. You know what they're looking at? The glory of it. Do you know the average person, for example, that wins a lottery in a few years is worse off than they were before they won that big windfall? Amen. Even if you were able to get everything that you dreamed of from the devil, you would fight and scratch and claw the rest of your life trying to keep it. Amen. It would not be the utopia he had promised or the blessing you imagined. Amen. Now let's move. I've got three thoughts I want to look at, three specific things just quickly. First of all, I want you to notice the devil's visions of grandeur. I touched on it in the introduction, but verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Amen. The devil loves to paint a glamorous picture. Amen. I get amazed sometimes I see in the newspaper, I get the paper back from North Carolina. Mom and Dad have it sent to me. And I look at the obituaries. I'm amazed at some of the pictures in there. They have what they call glamour shots. You remember those? And it's a grandma, 95 years old. But she looks like a movie star. Amen. I'm glad neither of my grandmas look like movie stars. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, movie stars look like hookers. Amen. Maybe you get glamour shots. I hope you don't. Amen. But that's the devil. He loves to paint glamour shots. He loves to show all the glitter. He wants to show all the glory. All that is supposedly good. But it's all paint. It's all powder. It's all puff. It's not real. Amen. He captures our imagination. And he takes us up on an exceeding high mountain. And when he gets us up there, again, we go back to what I preached the other night on be careful of high places. I talk about spiritual heights, but there's things in this world you can go to high places as far as the world's concerned that can be very damaging to your soul, very damaging to your life. Amen. So he catches us up on those high mountains and he begins to show us these things that take our breath away, makes our heart race with enthusiasm. He is a professional at painting. Amen. He paints beautiful pictures, promoting his offers, the slickest advertising techniques. Amen. Amen. I'm not against painting. I think paintings are wonderful. Amen. I'm not against art, but I think you ought to draw what God, the pictures God paints. Amen. Draw beautiful things that are lovely, not things that are pornographic. Amen. Not things that are glamoury. Amen. That's the best way I know that. I'm telling you, a sunset or that painting out there that Miss Amber painted that's in our foyer, that water splashing up around that lighthouse, that's things to paint. Amen. Those are beautiful things that God made. Amen. That you don't have to covet after and lust after and fight for. And lose your family trying to maintain. Amen. Amen. The devil's a professional at painting beautiful pictures, promoting his offers with the slickest advertising techniques. The tempter loves to paint the picture that captures the eye. He loves to play the song that encapsulates the ear and the heart. The devil is very talented at clouding our minds, and goes back to what you were talking about this morning, and intoxicating us with the pleasures of this world. Amen. That's what he was trying to do with Christ in this, and that's what he'll try to do with you and I. Amen. He'll try to intoxicate our mind with the visions and the sounds, and what he's trying to do is bring us under the spell of his enchantments. Amen. There's a lot of places I'd never go in my life. I would never go to a seance. Amen. I'd never go to a rock and roll concert. I think it's the same thing as a seance. Amen. There's a lot of those things that the sounds and the lights and the sights and all that is to get your mind in a certain mode. By the way, they said that Hitler was a very good manipulator of people's minds by the way he talked. Amen. There's going to come one of these days, riding on a white horse with a bow and no arrows. And he's going to come riding in offering peace and talking smooth and winning the world with his words. Amen. Satan loves to offer to us the pleasures of sinful lusts. He'll tell us about the advantages of public opinion, the applause of men. He'll seduce us with worldly riches or with the excitement of false religions. He suggests to our mind that sin is fun. He'll tell you that sin is satisfying. You have not lived until you've tried this. That's what he'll say. Amen. He'll try to convince us that sin is enjoyable. And the Bible does say for a season. For a season. Amen. For a season. But the devil won't tell you about that. He'll reveal it all in a moment of time and make you think this is all of it, but this is the way it's going to be from now on. Amen. He reveals all the pleasure and the excitement of sin, but he conceals the heartbreak. He conceals the trouble. He conceals the destruction that follows when we follow his path. Amen. The danger of temptation and the expertise of Satan at portraying this beautiful picture, I believe, is one of the reasons why he showed us this text right here, that we would know the devil did that to God's own Son. He'll certainly do it to you or I. Amen. We need to recognize that the devil will do his best to paint you the wrong picture. Amen. By the way, parents used to instruct their children, used to warn their children about, quote-unquote, running with the wrong crowd. Because if you follow the devil upon that exceeding high mountain, he's going to show you some things and do his best to try to get you to want those things. Best thing to do is stay away from those things. Amen. Amen. I've got a few things I thought I put. First of all, stay away. Be warned against worldly music. I touched on rock music, but there's more. Whether it's music halls, dance halls, or the privacy of your own radio in your vehicle or in your home or on your personal device or by the way, even in a church service. Be careful. The wrong kind of music. It's dangerous. It excites emotions. It has an ability to turn on hormones. I believe it has an ability to call in devils. Demonic spirits. Music has great power. And has been used mightily by the devil. We know that. Amen. Amen. He's entrapped people. Whether it's rock and roll, soft rock, hard rock, country music. Even some contemporary, quote-unquote, gospel music. You ought to be warned about the music industry. You ought to be warned, number two, about movie theaters. Amen. Amen. Used to be common knowledge that church people had no business going into the dark and smutty halls of a movie theater. It's common knowledge. We knew that. But today, you don't have to go to the movie theater. You can bring it into your home. Amen. We don't realize what the devil's doing is capturing our imagination. And I believe in a lot of cases he is implanting his doctrines in our mind. He's preaching us a sermon while we're busy watching this scene flash before our eyes. He's indoctrinating our minds. He's indoctrinating our children. Amen. Amen. Whether it's X-rated, R-rated, PG-3, or 13-rated, G-rated, even those films call themselves Christian or religious films. I believe you've got to be careful. Amen. The devil uses them to get Christians off track. Amen. Number three, not only music, movie theaters, and this was not alliterated, but dance halls, singles clubs, nightclubs, bars, and such as that. Amen. Amen. It's hard to imagine that people call themselves Christian and go to those places, but they certainly do. Right. Melissa took one of our neighbors to do some running one day this week. Her car was broke down. She came over and asked Melissa if she'd take her out. A lady said that she used to work. She's not from around here. She's from Texas. She said she used to work in a casino. And she said on Sunday, she said, you'd be surprised how many people go straight from the church house to the casino. And she said, they take their little necklaces, and I'm sure she's talking about rosaries, and they rub them and say, oh, bring me luck. Please bring me luck. Bring me luck this time. Be good to me this time. And here's what she said. She said they go straight from one God to another. That's what she said. Amen. I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm not talking about a Sunday school teacher. I'm not even talking about a church member. A lady that knows what the world is and knows what they're doing. And she said there's people leaving the church, going right in those places and partaking of the things those wicked people are partaking of. I'm telling you, it'd be best to stay out of that. The devil will paint you a big picture and show you some big scene that'll bring you destruction is exactly what it'll do. Amen. But this thing about dance halls and singles clubs and nightclubs and bars and such. Hard to believe that some people go to such worldly and sensuous places where women are dressed very immodestly, where they act very immodestly, where the men are lustful and licentious. Amen. They participate in such lewd things that heathens and animals might do. And then they go home and get dressed for church and go climb up in the choir. God help. Amen. God help. I'm telling you, my point is this. There are some places that are no places for Christians. Amen. Some places that are no places for Christians. They're the devil's territory. The sights and the sounds and the atmosphere of those places are to entrap us. They are to entice us. They are to bring us into bondage to the lusts of the flesh. That's what those things are for. And the devil offered it to the Lord. He'll offer it to you or I. Amen. Amen. Well, Let me skip over some of this. Let me give you the second one. Look at again. He says in verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, think about the gates. That's my second point. First of all, was the temptation that he offered, that picture that he painted. Secondly, the gates through which the devil seeks to enter. I've been in each of these points. I brought out something that I read in a book by David Thomas called The Genius of the Gospel, Homiletical Commentary of the Gospel of Matthew, written in 1873. You may remember some of it when I start telling you. I'm just going to rehash just a little bit of what I said, but he talks about how there are three major avenues that the devil uses to try to dethrone God and try to disrupt our duty towards God. These three instincts, he said, there's appetite, ambition, and avarice. We've talked about those, appetite and ambition, already. These three, I believe, agree completely with what John said, the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I believe they agree explicitly with those. First of all, appetite. I said this, I'm just going to remind you. Appetite is the most human and perhaps most powerful of all impulses. Appetite or hunger is the craving of the physical nature. Not merely for gratification, but for life. We must get hungry or we'll starve to death. By the way, that's what happens sometimes when people get so far in dementia that they don't realize they're hungry. And if they don't get fed, they don't feed themselves, they'll starve to death. There's a natural impulse God put in us, and it's not wrong in its place, but what's wrong is when it breaks out of its boundaries. Amen. When it goes beyond what it's supposed to be. Amen. Then we said, and the devil used that, by the way, when our Lord was hungry and the devil offered him bread. Secondly, there's ambition, another universal impulse, nearly as powerful as the first. An instinct that's really the desire for display and approval and applause. It's natural and native to humans. We talked about how that a little child will do something. They'll look to you for applause. They'll look for you to give them some approval of that. Well, that has its good places. But when it's carried to the extreme, then it's bad. Here's the last one. This is avarice. This is the avenue that the devil's using in this case. It's the desire for possession. And by the way, it's not a weak desire either. Amen. You say, preacher, what? You see it with the least little child. I could take these children over here. I could take Ava and Amelia, and I could take Gracie over here, and I could take Kyson. She's too small. I take these little children, set them down here, and give them each a toy. And you know what they'll do? They'll want the other's toy. That's exactly what they'll do. They'll want the other's toy. Give them all one just alike, they'll want both of them, or all of them. That's what they want. It's natural. It's native. You see it in every little child. Amen. That's not just saying your child's wicked. They're all wicked. Amen. Amen. They all have that sin nature within them. But I'll say this. That can be a good thing, because you want your boy to grow up to work and provide for himself. Amen. You want him to know the value of gaining some things and doing better than he has done. Amen. You want your girl to grow up to have a family that she can have a loving family and a wonderful home that she can have joy in those attainments of those things. Amen. Talked about these little children. Jim and Amanda just had the little girl last night or yesterday. Jonathan and his wife just had one last week, I think. I remember how it was when they hand those children to us. There's a sense, boy, I have got something right here. Man. You have got something. That is good. That sense of possession. You ladies holding those little bitty babies, hold them tight. Amen. Hug them good. It's good to have them. But the devil wants to take that beyond the boundaries that God said it's supposed to be. Amen? This thing about possessing things. Amen? Amen? So people got the idea today, you know, what good is anything if it's not making me money? Amen? It don't matter how wonderful the sermon is, for example. The preacher can dig and get jewels out of the Scripture. The preacher can dig and tell you those precious promises of the Word of God. But if it don't bring you monetary wealth, the average person will say, that's nothing more than just flapping the gums and a waste of my time. Amen. The average saint, well, let me say this. A saint that has almost no social standing, no money in the bank, but he knows how to get a hold of heaven, can ring the prayer bells of heaven and get a prayer answered, that saint's considered worthless to the world because he don't have anything to show. Amen. I'm telling you that the devil will get all that mixed up, and that's what he's doing in this case. Well, I say this, I said it already, about that it has a good place. You need, everybody needs a little bit of self-respect. Amen. People used to have self-respect, meant they wouldn't show their nakedness. Because they respected their self. Even if they didn't respect anybody else, they respected their self enough they wouldn't show their nakedness. We got all mixed up today. Now they say, if you got it, flaunt it. Their idea is brag about it. Show it off. That's not self-respect. And by the way, most of that crowd winds up committing suicide somewhere down the road or doping their brains out or drinking themselves to death. Because they can't stand what they've done with their life. Amen. I could go on and on. Well, these impulses, appetite, ambition, avarice, belong to the selfhood of our human nature. And the devil tried to take advantage of those in our Lord. He was not attacking our Lord on His Godhood. He was questioning His Godhood, but He's attacking Him on His flesh. His manhood. He was attacking Him in those places, trying to subvert our Lord's thinking and our Lord's duty to His Heavenly Father. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil will do that to you and I as well. But I'm glad our Lord was tempted in all points,
yes, sir,
like as we are, yet without sin. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything the devil could ever throw at me and you has already been thrown at the Lord. And He shrugged it off. Amen. That brings me to my third point, and I'll close with this. The third thing I want you to notice in verse number 9. And saith unto him, this is what the devil said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Several of the commentators I read after said that that didn't mean worship as in worshiping God. That it just meant pay homage to. In other words, it'd be like this. If Brother Bell handed me something and I said, thank you. That's all it is. I didn't deserve it. You gave it to me. I'm showing you honor by thanking you. And so it's as if the devil said, I'll give you all this if you'll just acknowledge that I've got the right to give it and that I'm the one donating it, I'm the one giving it. In other words, it'd be like, you've seen churches that every stained glass window's got a plaque in it.
Yeah.
Every pew's got a plaque on the side. Right. Amen. Given in honor, given in memory. And I don't guess it's all bad, but some of that can get to be a little bit of prideful. It can get to be a little bit of, look at me, and it can get territorial. Well, that was, my great-grandpa gave that pew, I'll tell you, I'll do what I want to on it. If I want to sleep on it, I'll sleep on it. Amen. It can get prideful. Amen. All he was asking for was just a little bit of homage, just a little bit of honor. Can I tell you, the devil does not deserve that much honor. He's not honorable. He is dishonorable. Amen. Now, I want you to think about the power. This is where I'm at on this third point. I call it the power of Christ's temptation and the power of his success. Notice how strong, I said, I believe this, and I do believe this temptation was stronger than any of the other temptations. Because what did Christ come for? Who did all that ultimately belong to? It belonged to him.
Amen.
The earth, not will be the Lord's, not has been the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belonged to him, but it does look like it was under the control of Satan at that time. Amen. That Satan, for this period of time, has gained control. I believe he gained control. The authority, the dominion was given to Adam, and Adam surrendered that dominion to the serpent. Amen. Christ had to come and buy that dominion back. Amen. And I do believe that that seven sealed book written on both sides, I believe that is the title deed of the planet Earth, that Jesus Christ, no man's worthy to open that book nor to read thereof, but the Son of God is, thank God. Amen. It all belongs to Him. Amen. But I want you to think about the power of this temptation. I want you to think about it with first with Christ and then with us. If Satan were to tempt you or I to literally turn stones into bread, it wouldn't be a temptation to us because we can't do that. But Christ could. If Satan were to tempt you or I and say, leap from this pinnacle and land unhurt, wouldn't be much of a temptation to you or I because we can't do that. But Christ could. But here's a temptation anybody can do. When he says, just bow down to me. Just show me a little honor. Just give me a thank you. Amen. I read somewhere, it's been some time back, when, you know, when they arrested Harvey Weinstein and that whole Me Too movement got started up. Harvey Weinstein been molesting women for years. They went back and looked, and Harvey Weinstein was thanked more at the Oscars and those movie star awards nights. Harvey Weinstein was thanked more than God. Amen. Harvey Weinstein was thanked more than their co-workers. His name was, you know why? He's paying homage to a devil that promoted them, and they paid the price to get promoted there. That's why I said to me, Hollywood looks like a bunch of hookers to me. I think that's what a lot of them are. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to run that rabbit, but it's there. Harvey Weinstein shouldn't have popped up his head. He did. Amen. The devil said, just thank me for it. That's what got me thinking about that. Just thank me for it. And we can. We can. We have the ability. Amen. Amen. Well, perhaps we need to recognize that this is tempting to us because we do have the ability, we do have the power to bow down and pay homage to Satan. But let me go back to Christ. Christ did have the ability to turn the stones to bread, but he didn't. Christ did have the ability to leap down, from that pinnacle, land unhurt, but he didn't. Christ did have the ability to take the kingdoms of the world even without bowing his knee to Satan. Amen. He didn't bring that up. He just said in his answer, the only person I'm going to bow my knee to, of course I'm paraphrasing it, the only person I'm going to bow my knee to is the Lord. Amen. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and Him only. There's your phrase. Only. Not God and the devil.
Right.
Amen. 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 Not God and the casino. Amen. Not God and the bar. Not God and the world. Amen. Not going to bow my knee to any of that other stuff. I'm going to bow my knee to God only. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
That was the answer. Thank God. Amen. And amen. The temptation that Christ faced was not in the fact that he had that power. He had that power. But it was that the devil was trying to get him to misuse that power. Amen. Well, that's the same temptation that we face. We have power to do some things, and the devil wants to tempt us to miss use our power. Let me just mention a few. We have the power of speech, the tongue. The devil wants us to misuse our tongue. We have the power over our feet, and the devil wants us to misuse our feet, go places we shouldn't. We have power over our hands, and the devil wants us to misuse our hands and do things we shouldn't. Amen. We have power over our eyes, what we look at. We have power over our mind, what we think about. Amen. We have power over these things, and it's not wrong to use it, it's wrong to misuse it. And the devil wants us to misuse that power. Why? That he might bring shame to the cause of Christ. Bring shame to the name of God. Amen. Christ not only had the power to do the things Satan asked or suggested that he do, but Christ also had the power to resist the devil. And so do you and I. James said, resist the devil. First of all, said, submit thyself unto God. Then he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Christ had the ability to resist the devil and defeat him on every turn. And all this power lies in faith in the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to say we have that same power. Not in ourselves, but we've got the same sword our Lord had. We've got the same promises our Lord had. We can tap into that power if you're saved by the grace of God. That's why John said, 1 John 4:4, he said, and ye have overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you have Christ in you? That is the hope of glory. If you have Christ in you, you have the ability to overcome. Now the devil's going to attack, and the devil's not going to quit attacking. He's going to keep attacking. And his attacks may get more and more fervent and more powerful. But you, listen to me, the weakest saint has power with God when that saint surrenders and submits to the will of God. Amen. One more statement, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to give an invitation. You ever feel like the storm's brewing in your heart? You ever feel like that? Storm's brewing in your heart? I read something one day this week, bless my soul. It said, the soul of a Christian is like the depths of the sea. The storms may ruffle the waves on the surface, but underneath there's calm. You can have that calm in the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths of God's Word. Lord, help us not misuse the powers you've given us. Help us not misuse the abilities that you've given us. Lord, help us not to give in to the devil and his attacks. Help us not to lust after his painted pictures. Lord, help us walk in the Word of God and in the will of God. Lord, I pray blessing this invitation time. I pray you'd bring sinners to Christ. You'd help the saints be strengthened. Give victory over sin, over the flesh, over the devil. Lord, I pray give victory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, obey the Lord.